All right, right now, extremely pleased to welcome to the show DFS Bear, lineup provider, DFS Junkie. What's going on, man? How are you?
Not too hot at the moment because Aaron Gordon just ruined my night.
Yeah, I know.
Possibly. Well, hey. Possibly.
Possibly. And you know what? If he ruined your night, he ruined our night and 75% of life. So it's fine. You're fine. Don't worry about it. He's Aaron Gordon. What was he going to, like, max out at 26 points?
He was on track for a pretty good deal. But
yeah, that's all right, man. These small slates are like that. It is tilting, though. We were just talking about people who are on Seth Curry tonight are losing their mind. He only has one assist. Anyway, hey, first off, before we get into anything, man, I have to just apologize about the Super Bowl. I'll give you a minute to reset. Where are you? Where do you live?
I'm from Georgia. Okay. I don't live in Atlanta, but I live basically in the suburbs of Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. That was brutal. It was a terrible night for you guys. I was pretty upset myself, but terrible night for literally anyone who isn't a Pats fan.
I actually saw where I almost blocked it out of my mind, really. But I saw today where we had the ball almost in the red zone with about, I think, 4 minutes on the clock.
Oh, my God.
Up 8, second and 8, and we threw the ball twice. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why.
And that's Matt Bryant range. Like, indoors.
Oh, dude, that's money. Matt Bryant makes that in his sleep every time.
I know.
Every time.
Kick the field goal on second down. Anyway, all right. We'll stop rehashing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So tell us about yourself. You're in the Atlanta area. You're a free lineup provider, right? Tip provider, but you've been doing this for a little while. Like, what's the day job though?
So I graduated in December. My double major, accounting and finance.
Okay.
So I'm in admin for actually a family business. Heating and air conditioning. We do commercial heating and air conditioning. And a little bit of residential as well, but mostly commercial
side. Nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
It's always interesting, man. Everybody does something.
We do a lot of Lowe's distributing. What else? Actually, long time. We've been in business for a while. We got hired by the government back during Katrina. This is actually kind of gruesome.
Okay.
But we put a lot of the air conditioning in the mobile morgues. I'm getting dark here.
It's an unfortunate account.
Yeah, no.
Gotta happen.
I'm just giving examples of what type of kind of business.
All right. If I want to make my house really cold, I'll give you a call.
Yeah, I don't know if you live anywhere close to Georgia or not, but
I do. I actually live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I don't know if you knew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not from here. I'm a transplant for sure, but
okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm right up the line from you. All right, so I guess let's talk DFS. Let's not talk morgues anymore. We just talked about like one of the worst Super Bowl collapses
and Hurricane Katrina. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's lighten the mood. What's the lineup that got you hooked on DFS? That first lineup where it like really clicked and you were like, oh wow, I love this.
Well, honestly, I'm gonna be honest here. When I first started, I wasn't that great, and I kind of took it as a challenge, as to like I was playing small. You know, I wasn't like throwing $25 away, $100 away at a time. I was playing like dollars, and I just practiced and started learning the tools of the trade and who was who are some better players and who are not so good players, and being able to find that value.
Was that football a little bit better. Or NBA?
Oh, well, I started with football actually. I've played fantasy football for, all through high school and just for probably 6 or 7, 8 years now. So, I mean, I've fantasy sports was always a big deal. Well, not really. I mean, it was a hobby. It was a hobby of mine. Sure. And so, and everybody was always talking about FanDuel. So I was like, all right, let me get into this. Let me try this out.
I was similar, man. You know, like just kind of like had some buddies who were playing for fun on Sunday mm-hmm. afternoon, and you know, you kind of slowly but surely, it's either for you or it's not for you. And
the commercials really got me too. The ones that they're like, "Hey, my name's Joe, and I won $100,000 playing FanDuel," and I was like, "I want to do that. Like that sounds. Yeah. I can do that."
Wow. Well, I mean, the people at FanDuel would love to hear this.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
All right, so like one of the things, you know, and I know you've listened to the show and some of the interviews and stuff, but one of the things that we want to focus on is like actual process for people who are playing, like strategy and process. And, you know, specifically during this conversation, we're eventually going to talk about, you know, some of the like big slates versus small slates strategy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess like when you sit down to make lineups or you're looking at a slate, what's the first thing that you personally like to look for, like to do?
Well, it depends on the slate. So are we talking big slate or small slate here?
Let's talk medium slate, right? We'll talk because I think slate. Big slates and small slates, for sure you take a different approach. But let's say like a normal, comfy six-game slate.
All right, well, the reason I ask that is because – so say – So tomorrow, what was tomorrow? You said an 11-game slate? 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4,
yeah, I think
five,
it's 11,
six,
yeah.
Seven, eight, nine,
massive.
12.
Massive.
It's 12.
12,
yeah. So with a 12-game slate, you can get a little more finesse, if you will, with your lineups. But, like, tonight was a 3-game slate. You had to have Harden, you know? You had to. There was no not getting Harden tonight. You had to have, even though he, you know, crapped the bed, you had to have Kemba tonight. He had an unbelievable matchup. There was no fading that. Maybe if, you know, if they play the Nets in a 12-game slate, if this game was taking place tomorrow, maybe you could say, you know, I'm not a big fan of Kemba. I'm not going to take him because, you know, it would have been a nice fade tonight, honestly. But it would have been, you would have been a madman to, you know, not take Kemba Walker at home against the worst defense in the NBA.
Right. So like you figure out what perhaps like what you have to lock in, what you can't fade, what you want to fade.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it. That makes sense. Yeah. The lock and the fade, just to kind of build from there, get some building blocks. And what do you look for? Like when you're locking in a guy, what are you looking for particularly?
Well, first thing I look at, well, not really. I don't always look at, you know, the same thing over and over again. I'll look at anything between, DVP, which is on, you know, any one of your fantasy sites that you want to look at. I use Roto Grinders, but there's, you know, probably hundreds of them out there. DVP, over-unders, the pace of the game, and basically overall, and maybe some overall recent play. So, and just a combination. I mean, it just varies, really. It depends on the player. Depends on the price.
Okay. So a little combination of all of that. What do you look for when you're trying to lock in some of your value plays? What do you think is the most important thing to find there?
Well, okay. So what is Brandon Jennings now? He's like, what,
6'5"? 6'5". Yeah.
Yeah. 6'5". Is he 6'5" tomorrow? Or... yeah, I don't think they play tomorrow. Anyways, regardless. So he's 6'5" now. Rose is back. His value is going to go, you know, it's going to regress down to what it was before. He'll be in the 4K soon. And D-Rose will get hurt again. And of course, I'm going to, you know, everyone knows, you know, play Jennings. That's the favorable value play. Sometimes you don't have it that easy. That's what I did with John Henson. I had John Henson at 0.5% owned in Quinn's that first game he started. He got 32. Yeah. And at 0.5% owned at minimum salary. I don't know why.
I guess the question is how did you get on Henson? Was it just because he was starting, or was it there something else there that would lead you to?
Well, I mean, earlier in the season, Henson was – I think it was earlier this season, Henson was like pushing 5K, you know,
he was a
reliable, you know, value play. And I guess people just, I mean, must've forgot because, I mean, I remember he could put up numbers. I mean, yeah. And I remembered that, and it was a favorable matchup. It was a high paced game, and the Bucks had been struggling, and I knew that changeup was done for a reason, that they were going to try and get Henson involved in the offense. And I mean, obviously they did. I think he scored their first 6 points of the night. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. Like, so, you know, maybe not just like the obvious value play, like a guy's injured and we all know, you know, like it was last week with Jennings, you know, like Rose is out, Jennings lock him in.
Okay? Yeah. You got to know the history of
it. Yeah. Exactly. Like
look at players past value. Really?
Right. Exactly. Know what their capability is. Know why their value has dropped. Right. For example, yep. In the case of the Bucks and Henson, recent skid, Monroe had taken the minutes back, whatever yep. The case may be.
Yep.
You know, his price is coming down, 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 down.
Also,
you're watching that price go down, and there eventually is going to be a return to value. That's an interesting way to try to find
some value. Another thing I completely forgot about, they traded away. What? They traded away Plumlee and
Plumlee.
It was just Plumlee. They had two centers on the night, and I didn't think they'd play Thon that much. I mean, and he didn't play that much, and so it just kind of worked out for me. So, but the history would be
a good call. That's definitely something he came, and you have to pay attention to those kinds of things. You know, I think one of my favorite tools to look at on a big slate, especially, is when you're like awash in players is. The salary change chart on Roto Grinders. You know, looking at guys who recently have underperformed and their salaries are dropping, right? You can find guys who their salaries drop $300-$400 because they've had a couple bad games in a row. They're going to regress, and you're going to find them at a value that you normally don't find them at. That's a good call. Knowing the history, knowing what a guy is capable of, and trying to find him at that right price point where he's a value play. Nicely done.
Speaking of which, guess Matt Barnes' value for tomorrow.
He's probably 47.
5'2".
5'2". Wow.
5,200. That was another one. I was scared to pull the trigger on him last night, and he didn't work. But that's another one of those types of guys that is
he benefited though,
a veteran guy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He benefited in the first half from the double teams on Boogie though, because if you watch that game, Boogie, they shut down Boogie, they harassed Boogie, they threw tons of fouls at him in the first half. In double teams, basically to slow him down and get out to a lead. And Barnes, you know, soaked up a ton of extra rebounds, a couple extra buckets that way. So, but yeah, man, Barnes at 5'2", that's a little scary. All right, but I guess the opposite of that question is, you know, like where do you find yourself paying up? You know, when you're going over 10K, what position do you gravitate towards? You know, what type of a player are you most likely to pay that high price for?
I don't really. Let's think. Typically, the studs I want to play are the ones that are at the top of the DVP charts. So, Anthony Davis last night, wonderful matchup against the Suns. A fast paced game. It's just any one of the, you know, factors that I was talking about before with making a lineup. I mean, DVP is a big factor to me. Usage bump would be another big factor for me. I forgot to mention that earlier with value. Lavoy Allen's night he had the other night was all due to usage bump.
Got it. You're looking for the stud, regardless of name or position, the guy who just has the overall best situation, whether it's positionally, the matchup, everything combined. It's got to all line up for you.
Yeah, you can't really lock in. You can't say I'm gonna play the most expensive center every night, or I want to play the best center on the slate every night, and you just can't do that because you know, you're going to have like Capella tonight. Capella tonight's balling at 5-1 compared to Brooke Lopez, you know, who had a pretty decent matchup and didn't do so well. And I mean, tonight it was tonight's a bad example because you had to have Harden tonight. But I mean, as you just weigh the options and not really commit fully to one thing. That's another mistake that I made a lot. And still sometimes do is fall in love with a certain person and then just completely like just block out any other options at that position.
Right.
So
right.
Like, what's an example? I can't really think of a recent example, but, I mean, just locking in on one guy and then once you're, you know, crunching numbers and you need a value play and you can switch out, you know, that one guy that you're crazy about for, you know, another guy that you can possibly be crazy about if you just look at the numbers, if you look at the other players, the other options.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's important. Like, you have to be open-minded to guys that maybe you aren't as comfortable with.
Exactly.
If the logic is there, if you have a reason to play, like if there's a reason to play him, if there's a reason behind it, you know, you have to be cautious about that. You know, like you can't be blind to the fact that another guy can score just as many points because you're in love with one player. And I think like that is a mistake that DFS players make pretty often. I mean, what do you find is a mistake that you often make in your lineups? Like when you realize like what's the patterned mistake? For me, I mean, I know what mine are, and you know, and I talk about them a lot on the podcast. You guys hear about them all the time. Mm-hmm. But what about you? Like when you're like, ah, shit, I did it again.
Honestly, it was what I just mentioned is just falling in love with a certain guy and then realizing there's, you know, someone 2,000, 3,000 less that was in a wonderful spot that I could have paid up elsewhere. Another thing I do look at is if I can't find value for a spot, for a certain position, then I'll start really favoring towards the studs in that position.
So, yeah, positional scarcity. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, say you got a slate with, you know, Westbrook's on the slate, but he doesn't have the greatest, you know, greatest matchup. But there's really no one else you can get at point guard. There's no good matchups at point guard that night. Typically, I would want Westbrook in that situation. But,
got it.
Oh, well, actually, Westbrook's not a very good example because I don't like paying up for Westbrook because it's so damn expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, the example fits,
but right? That's the example.
You're doing
that's,
something because of a disciplined, logical reason rather than, you know, falling in love with, you know, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right, so let's talk about this, like, strategy point, right? Tonight, we're on a 3-game slate. Tomorrow is a 12-game slate. I mean, you said it. Do you think on a small slate, the thing that you have to do is lock in the best plays no matter what? Like, lock in some of the most chalky, even if they're chalky, lock in some of the best plays on the slate?
Okay, so tonight, right, Harden was the only guy. He was the one to pay up for if you're paying up. And actually, last time Harden played the Magic, I had him, and he got me, I think, 32 against the Magic. And I was furious that night because everyone else balled out. Had he just, like, hit normal value, I would have probably won, you know, a decent amount. And he just severely underperformed. And honestly, when I woke up this morning, I was like, you know, Harden against the Magic. He burned me against the Magic. I don't want him. And then I started thinking, I was like, wait a second, hold on. It's a 3-game slate. I have to have Harden. But I mean, for a split second there, I was thinking, I was like, I'm not doing that again. And then I woke up and I got Harden.
Right. All right. So exactly. So you have to lock in certain plays on a small slate.
Absolutely.
Because if you're without them, you know, hey, okay, good for you. You have variance, but you may not have, you know, right now Harden's got almost 50 points. You're not going to have those 50 points, you know, and you need those. Well, he's got 45.
94 for the note.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, so what about on a big slate? I mean, you have so many more options. You have so many more different pieces and parts to go with. You know, what do you do in a big slate construction? Are you locking in a stud, or are you starting with value? What do you think?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I hit the little the game. I do all my lineup building on my phone. I'm going to hit the little games list to pull down the games list, and I'm just going to look at the games. I don't even look at the players per se to start off with, and I just look at who's playing. And right off the bat, if you've played for a certain amount of time, you can see the matchups like instantly. So Denver versus Atlanta tomorrow, Schroeder. You know, Schroeder's automatically, you know, in my player pool because you just play point guards against Denver. That's just what you do, and it's in Atlanta. I don't know what his game splits are like as far as home and away, but I mean, you don't have to deal with that Denver air, and that's a matchup that sticks out to me. Initially, another one, just going down the game list: Detroit versus Pistons versus Lakers. Drummond should dominate that game. That's just basically just what I do before I start even looking at players. I just look at the games, honestly.
Yeah, right. Scroll through the games.
Yeah.
Lock in. Start to build that player pool and lock in. You know, just the most obvious things that you wouldn't necessarily want to fade. Right. Like you don't really want to fade a perfect situation for you know, and even Schroeder, like. We know he's capable. He's underperformed recently. His price is down. You know, he's got a nice situation at home against Denver.
Wow, definitely. 6'2". Wow.
Yeah. I mean, his price has been dropping. He has not really been playing well. But I mean, you know, okay, that's a perfect kind of target, right? I love that idea that rather than going through, you know, price watching or position by position, you're going game by game and saying, okay, toss this guy in the bucket. He's possible.
And I don't even like playing Schroeder. I honestly don't like him as a player, but
he's very tilting.
Very inconsistent. And he's one of those guys that, you know, Dragic, that's a bad example. Kyrie's 8-4 against the Pacers, and you know, say I have him, I'm in love with him, you know, and
right.
I'm just using this as an example. I could easily just come down from him and go Schroeder and save that 2000 and spend elsewhere if I'm in a bind. You know what I mean? It's just
right. And that's the kind of discipline that you have to have in a large slate. Be willing to look at all your options.
It's a matter of building a player pool and knowing all your options.
Yep. I like that call. I like that call a lot. And I think that's smart, you know, like starting with a larger playing pool, knowing every one of your options and then building out from there, like in trying to create, you know, the best balance or the best lineup possible.
Oh, I mean, it's something I don't do enough, honestly. I mean, it's something I'm trying to do a little bit more, is expanding my horizons, I guess you could say.
Yeah. All right, so you know, we kind of already touched on the Wednesday slate. Okay, push Schroeder and Drummond in the player pool there.
In the player pool, but
what else?
By no means they're not locks.
What other matchups are you looking at over here on the Wednesday slate?
Well, I know we were talking before we came on the air or whatever. Value Boogie's suspended tomorrow, and they have the. They have the Celtics, so I'm really liking possibly Willie Cauley-Stein or Kufus. I don't know what I doubt Kufus will still get a bunch of minutes. They'll probably all go to Cauley-Stein. So immediately, oh wow, he's 4'6" tomorrow. They already adjusted his. Jeez.
Yeah, he had a game against. Nice game against Golden State. Yep.
Yeah, I think they prepared. They knew that he was going to be the chalk if he was 3-5.
Yeah, for sure. They probably put that in there. But I mean, he's still in a nice situation.
I hate when they do that.
You know, but like he's still in a nice. We talked about this though, because he's probably going to take the majority of those minutes. And at 4'6",
absolutely.
You know, at 4'6", what do you need him to do? You need him to get over 24 points.
That's value isn't something that I have off the top of my head yet. That's another thing. I just
Yeah, you gotta really be a junkie to get that down, Derek. Yeah. Right? When you know how much a 4-6 player has to score for
off the top of your head.
Yeah, off the top of your head.
Give me the calculator.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god, that's the kind of shit that keeps me up at night. It's like, listen, what do you think? Hayward is probably gonna get a bump tomorrow. And 5x at 7-8, he'll probably okay.
Crunching
that's
numbers.
Crazy, but that's
what I do all day.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Jeez, I'm getting all kind of injury updates here. Evan Turner to the locker room, Seth Curry to the locker room. It's this late game's a hurting.
I'd be happy if the games ended right now.
So we got
Sacramento. We got that Sacramento game. Any other juicy games that you see like that just scream value, like not scream value, but like scream fantasy goodness to you?
Let's see here. Well, if I were to stack, is that what you're saying? Like if I were to stack a game tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, I just think sometimes, you know, like Josh, my co-host, he often talks about like falling in love with a couple games and for good reason, you know, and making sure you know why you love that game and where, you know, where there's going to be pieces and parts that you really like in that game. And so, you know, I think that, you know, it's an interesting strategy to just kind of say like, okay, I love this game. I love this game. I love this game.
Yeah.
Any of those games that you were looking at here that you really like?
Honestly, at first glance, none of them really as like a stackable game as like a game that I'd really like to target. None are really standing out to me. I'd have to look at the over-unders and the spreads at this point.
I think the only one to me that really stands out is the Chicago Golden State game. If we get news that Jimmy is going to play,
I think
if Jimmy plays in that game, you could get some real nice, good scoring back and forth. Real nice spot for Steph, specifically. You know, Dwayne Wade has been really hot lately. He's got a decent matchup with Clay.
You got your blowout potential there. It's kind
you
of,
always
nah,
have blowout
scary.
Potential. And like, don't get me
with
wrong.
The Warriors. Oh yeah, you always have to blowout potential.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Chicago will lose that game. My point is that I think that maybe if Jimmy's in it, you could go three quarters, and three quarters of full tilt Warriors and full tilt Jimmy Butler is pretty nice. You know, I also don't mind this. I also don't mind this Toronto-Minnesota game.
I was just about to say that. I just saw that. That sounds like a fast-paced game.
Well, it's the fact. I think it's the combination of pace and the fact that it's going to be competitive. I think that Minnesota
definitely sounds like a competitive game.
Yeah. So, all right. So those are two that we got our eyes on. All right, man. Well, hey, good luck hanging on there. Hopefully we can hang on tonight and get some cash, even though everyone's owning every player is owned north of 50%, it seems like tonight.
I mean, it looks like we're holding pretty.
We're holding.
We ended up having this. Yeah. Oh.
They say that in curling, right?
I don't know. That sounds like a movie quote. Hold. That sounds
maybe
like
that is
some
maybe.
Lord of the Rings medieval stuff, right there. Hold.
Hold the door, Game of Thrones. Hold the door. All right, man. Well, hey, let people know where they can find you on Twitter, dude.
Okay, it's DFS Bear. DFS underscore Bear. Just got a big old picture of a grizzly bear. My college mascot was the Bears. That's why. That's just what I decided to name myself, I guess.
Right on, man.
I didn't know. There's actually a couple of DFS Big Bear or something. I've been tweeted a few times by people thinking that they were tweeting him, and I was like, what are you talking about, man? And they're like, oh, sorry, wrong okay. Bear,
wrong DFS guy.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, yeah. Hey, and people look out. You're throwing up a Periscope every so often, talking the slate in the afternoon. If people have questions, I always get good conversation in there.
Periscopes have been something I've started doing here recently.
Yeah, it's nice.
My recent play hasn't been, although tonight's now tonight's starting to look pretty favorable. But I've been on a little slid lately. But winning record, we'll say that.
Winning record, right? You'll take it. You'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at @DFS_bear, check out the Periscope. Check out the notes on the slate. And, dude, good stuff. I appreciate you coming on the show. And
thanks for having me, dude. I listen to these all the time while I'm at work. So
good.
Keep doing your thing, man.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And good luck with this monster slate.